Good morning, Replicate Church. How y'all doing today? So good to see everyone here this morning, and we're excited to celebrate the church and just have fellowship after service today. Stick around for some good food and just good times for the kids and the families and stuff. But if you will you stand? We're going to kick things off, but I'd like to pray over today before we start. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord. We praise you and exalt your name. We thank you for a place that we can come and just glorify you, learn from you, and experience you in new ways, and that you care so much for us, Lord. I pray that your presence fills this room throughout this service, Lord, and that your presence fills the fellowship and the gathering afterwards, Lord. We just pray that your name is lifted high today and that you are glorified. We love you so much. We thank you for your sacrifice and your love for us, Jesus. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. All right, you may be seated. Just for some brief welcoming announcements, we're so happy to see you on our fifth Sunday family barbecue and gathering. There's going to be some games for the kids and things to do, and just being able to have this opportunity to fellowship together. I'm Jared, and welcome to Replicate. We're so honored that you chose to be with us today to worship the Lord. I would like to direct your attention to the bulletin. You'll see the schedule for the small groups, and I love to tell you that is where church becomes family. And it was such an exciting week. Some of the small groups took a summer break, and we were able to get back together, the group that I attend, and it was great. There was a few new faces, and just really missed that part of church family was our small group. So there are some small group signups in the back if you're interested, and if you don't know who the names are, you can see me, and I can help you link up with a schedule that may fit you or a group that might fit you. But please don't feel shy about trying different small groups, seeing which ones you connect with the best. But we have all of them are great, and I really enjoy that. There's a few upcoming events which will be in the closing announcements today, but. I just really want to extend our thanks for you joining us. Also, if you're new or you've been here, please take a look at the Connect card. If you don't mind filling that out, we'd love to learn how we can best serve you, and we'd like to connect with you. You can drop that in the offering box, or you can see, I saw Renee on the welcome crew this morning. If you remember her face, you can give that to her, or if you see me, the guy in the blue shirt, doing announcements at the beginning, I'll gladly take that as well. So there's many, many options there. With that being said, I will turn it over to Pastor, and he will lead us in some scripture-led prayer this morning. Thank you. Pastor Jared.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jared. I know that's confusing, Jared and Jared, but hey, if you yell the name Jared, you're going to get somebody in here today. So, hey, if you're a guest, man, welcome. We're so glad you're here with us today. One of the things that's very important to us is prayer. But I do want to just make this known to you. Hey, if you are a guest this morning, you came on a very different day than our normal Sunday. We think gathering together as the church body is important. And so every fifth Sunday, we try to just gather like this. Now, today we're going to have food and some fun stuff involved. But I just want to let the parents know in the room, even if you are a parent of somebody that maybe is of differing abilities, hey, noise is okay today. If you got to move around today, that's okay. If you got to pace up and down with your kid, that's okay. We got some tables in the back. We got some headphones. We got some fidgets. We have all those things. And so we don't want you to feel like a burden this morning. We want you in here. We want to worship with you. We want to just engage God's word with you this morning. But with that being said, we are going to enter into a time of scripture-led prayer. And this morning, the text we're going to pray out of is Psalm 121, the first two verses. And it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so just kind of meditating on that text, you have some prompts. And I know they're very hard to read. They're very small this morning. Just kind of rooted in that. Just not that you have to pray them exactly, but just kind of stir you up a little bit on maybe how you should spend your time in prayer this morning. And so the first, we want to start with praise. And so we're praising God based on that text that he is our help. He is our helper, right? That he is the maker of heaven and earth. And because he is the maker of heaven and earth, we know that we can trust him with blank. Because he has created heaven and earth, we know that we can trust him with whatever we have going on in our life. And then second, surrender. Lord, I confess there are times in my life I often seek Blake for help instead of relying on you. I often seek assistance in blank instead of relying on you. And then next is request. This is where you just pour out your heart to the Lord. Those things that you need him to intervene in this morning. Lord, I declare that I need your help with this. Lord, I declare I need you to get a hold of this person's heart and bring them to salvation this morning. Lord, I need you to do this. And so you pour out your heart before the Lord this morning. That, and finally, readiness. Right? Scripture says that we should have the shoes of readiness, that we should be prepared at all times. And so, Lord, keep me from the evil of blank this week and help me to walk from your victory. Right? I think it's important that we remember as Christians that we walk from a place of victory, not defeat. Right? And so often we forget that. So maybe that's just a fresh prayer you pray this morning. But Matt's going to play just some background music, and you just spend the next 30 seconds or so. Man, you just get alone with your Heavenly Father. Prepare your heart to worship. Prepare your heart to engage God's word. And then I'll close this out in prayer, and we'll transition to a time of reading God's word. But you just spend the next few moments just kind of meditating and praying on that text this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that we would recognize as your church, as your people, those who profess the name of Jesus, that we would not lose sight of where our help comes from, that we would focus our eyes towards the hills, that we would focus our eyes towards you, Lord, that we would focus our prayers towards you. God, that we would trust you, that we would recognize that you are the maker of all things, of heaven and earth, Lord, and so you can be trusted with all things. And so, Lord, we come before you today. Lord, we pray that you help us to walk in victory. We pray that you help us to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for our mess ups. God, thank you that your mercies are new every day. Lord, there's people that walked in the door today, Father God, they maybe are feeling a little bit hopeless. They're feeling a little bit of shame. They're feeling anxious. They're feeling hurt. They're feeling discomfort, Lord. And I pray that you would supernaturally meet them where they are this morning, that they would have a true encounter with the one living God this morning. God, we pray for those in the room that do not yet know Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. They would hear your gospel. They would receive it. They would know the hope of heaven. They would know the peace of Christ. They would be made into that new creation, your word says, happens when we receive your son Jesus as our Savior. God, I pray this morning you would make sin known in our lives. You would convict us of that sin, that we would recognize how holy you are and how holy we are not. How big you are and how small we are. God, that we would just worship you in a reverent fear this morning. Just complete reverence for you. And so, Lord, we surrender this time to you today, and we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you're able to go ahead and stand with us this morning for the reading of God's word. Miss Elizabeth McKeithen is going to come read for us Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22, as we're going through our series through the book of Genesis. I will hold the mic for you.
Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there at night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay it down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in his place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head to sleep it for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of the Bethel. The name of the city was Luz at the time. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, then I will give you the bread to eat and the clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all of it that you give to me will be full a tenth of you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Elizabeth. We're going to invite you to remain standing with us this morning as we continue to worship this morning.
I'm going to invite all the kids, too, if they want to come up here and sing with us. We got plenty of room up front here. We'd love to hear y'all come sing.
Amen, amen. You guys can be seated. Hey, kids, I'm going to have you, if you're a kid and your parents let you, come sit up front here on the floor. Miss Terry, one of our preschool leaders, has a lesson for you real quick this morning before we get into the main sermon. So, hey, kids, if you guys want to come up here or sit where you're at, that's fine. Miss Terry has something she's prepared for you guys that's rooted in our message this morning. If you don't know, when your kids go back to preschool and Biggs each week, they are studying usually the same text that we are out here, all right? Because we believe in discipleship. We believe in the full counsel of God's word, and then everybody is able to hear it. And so Miss Terry has something prepared for you guys based on what I'm going to preach on in a little bit. And hey, kids, when I'm preaching, I have questions that I'm going to ask you. So you need to be paying attention, all right? Because you're going to need to answer those questions. You got it? I'm going to assume y'all are listening on that. There you go, Miss Terry.
Good morning, friends. I see a lot of friends that I've had in the littles and some of them that have moved over to the bigs. And I'm glad. I tell you, when we were singing and I was watching the children here, I was thinking how Jesus must just love this, all the children in the church, because he said, let the little children come to me. He did, and this makes him so happy. Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to pray real quick, okay? Can you pray after me, all right, so we can do this together? Dear Father, thank you for this day. Please help us hear with our ears and our mind and our hearts and remember your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Now, I didn't bring my Bible that's like the book Bible. But what I did bring was my Bible on my phone. I've actually got one on my phone. And did you know, just like he said a while ago, that the Bible is living. It just is, it's the same for all of us forever. But there are stories in the Bible, okay? But they're real stories. They're like history. His stories, okay? They're not like fairy tales. It's not like Goldilocks and the three pigs. You know, you heard that one, right? It wasn't the three pigs. It wasn't Goldilocks and the three pigs. Well, what was it? Was it Goldilocks and the Big Bear Wolf? Well, you know what? I don't think it's that important, because those stories are fun, but they're not important. They're not as important as the stories in the Bible. Well, I know if you've been in Littles or Bigs, you've been learning about Jacob and Esau. And they were twins. Can somebody tell me what a twin is? Yeah, they usually look just the same. They're born at the same time. That's the important part, okay? But Jacob and Esau did not look just the same. Jacob and Esau were just as different as they could be. Now, Jacob liked to hang around the house. He liked to work around the sheep and the goats. And Esau liked to go out hunting. And he was strong and he was big. And, you know, you got to say, it sounds like he was kind of scary looking because he just was hairy all over. And so that sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? And Jacob, he wasn't so much and he wasn't so strong. Well, Jacob did something that made his brother Esau really mad at him. And his brother could be heard saying, "When I get a hold of Jacob, I'm going to pound him into the ground. I am so angry with him. So angry." So Jacob got scared. And his mother said, "Okay, you need to run. You need to get away as far as you can and go to your uncle's house." So he went on his way, and he, at first, he ran and ran. And I don't know if he was on a donkey or if he was on a camel or if he was just running, but first he was going really, really fast. And then he got to where it was getting dark, okay? It was so dark. There were no street lights or anything. It was so dark he couldn't see anything. So he kind of felt his way in this place where there really wasn't a road anymore, and he found a rock, a big stone, and he decided, "I've got to lay down and go to sleep," and he put his head on the stone to go to sleep, used it as a pillow. Now, that doesn't sound like a really great pillow to me, does it? It didn't sound like a good pillow, but anyways, he fell asleep. He was still so afraid, but during the night, he had a dream. And the dream came straight from God. And get this, guys. In his dream, he saw a ladder. And I think it might have been more like a staircase, because a ladder, you have to go backwards, you know, and pull yourself up. But what was coming out of this ladder was coming forwards. And they were going up and they were going down. Does anybody know what was coming down from that ladder? Angels. And these angels weren't little, and they weren't real cute. They were glorious. They were bright. They were big. They were strong. Okay? And she's okay. She's okay. And Jacob, when he saw them, he was scared because they were big. Okay? But then he hears God's voice, and God said, "I am here. I am with you, Jacob. You don't have to be afraid of your brother. I'm going to take care of you. I have a promise for you. The same promise that I gave to your dad and to your grandfather, I'm going to give you that promise too. And from you will come so many people who will worship me and follow me." Well, Jacob fell asleep. And when he woke up the next day, he was afraid again, but he wasn't afraid of Esau. He was kind of afraid of God, but not the kind of fear we are when we think somebody's going to hurt us. He just said, "It's awesome. This God is awesome. He's so wonderful. I know he can do anything, and now I'm not afraid of anybody else. I just want to respect God and serve him." And so he took that stone. Remember that stone? What did he use that stone for? What did he use it for? Anybody remember? Oh, come on, don't make the grown-ups tell me. What did he use the stone? What? A pillow. He did, but it wasn't soft like a pillow. It was a heavy stone. And so he set up that stone, and he said, "This is going to be a memorial and a memory, and it's going to be set aside for God. And I'm going to name this place Bethel. And some people call it Bethel. And that means this is the house of God, because surely God was here. And if God is here, it's the house of God, right? And he poured some oil over it, and he made a promise to God that he was going to follow him. And he says, God, if you will help me, you will give me food to eat and clothes on my back and be giving me safety on my way to my uncle's house, I will serve you all my life. And that's what he did. Okay? So just remember this from our story, that God is bigger than anything that makes us afraid. And he's with us all the time. He sees us. Do you know he sees us right now? He sees me. He sees you. Yeah. He hears us when we pray. He hears us when we're talking. He's always with us. And not only that, he's able to do anything. And not only that, he loves us. So just remember that from our story. All right, let's all fold our hands and just pray one more time before we give it back to the grown-ups. Father God, I thank you for this day. I just pray that the things that we learned today will just find their way into our hearts. I ask that you be with us as we listen to Pastor Jared's message, as we worship, Lord, and as we celebrate being together today with food and water slides and lots of fun. And we just thank you, God, that you are going to smile on all the children, little and big, today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Terry. You guys give Miss Terry a round of applause. That's not easy coming up here. Hey, kids, you guys can go back to your seats, or if you guys want to hang out here, whatever your parents want, that's up to them. But as they're getting situated, I just want to say welcome once again if you're a guest. Hey, if you are a guest this morning, I'm gonna take something John said a few weeks ago. I'm going to invite you to stick for six, right? Because you can't make an accurate assessment of a church until you've been there about six times. And hey, if you come here six times in a row and you're like, hey, this is not the place for me, I will help you get connected to a healthy body of believers in the area. But if you are a guest, man, we're so glad you're here today. We would be so honored if, again, you took the time to fill out that Connect card this morning and drop it off with Miss Renee at the Connect table. We have a gift we've prepared for you. Man, we're just excited about what God is doing here. We're excited about Fifth Family Sunday and worshiping together. And trust me, I know that you have kids in the room. My kids are in the room, so that's in the back of my mind. And there's water slides out here and food back there. So I took that into account as we were preparing the message this week. So just don't be scared. But if you would, just join me in prayer one more time, and we're going to unpack Genesis 28 this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your goodness. Lord, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us this morning in your word. Lord, that you would draw us to yourself, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Genesis 28, like Miss Terry said this morning, and her message is probably better than my sermon, but you're stuck with both this morning. But Genesis 28 is the fallout from what happened in Genesis 27, right? In Genesis 27, like Miss Terry said, Jacob and his mom, Rebekah, had tricked their father, Isaac, into giving Jacob a blessing that belonged to Esau. And so Esau got really, really mad at his brother. How many of you have ever got really, really mad at your brother or sister because they took something from you? How many adults have gotten mad at their brother or sister because they took something from you? All right, that's where Esau was right now. And like Miss Terry said, he was so mad. Rebecca got so worried. You guys can put your hands down. Thank you, Ben. Was so mad at his brother that she was afraid that he was going to hurt him. And so Rebecca, she couldn't have her sweet little baby boy Jacob getting hurt by his brother. So she comes up with this idea to get him out of town, to send him with her brother Laban that lived about 500 miles away. How many of you have ever traveled 500 miles? That's like driving here to Texas, except for Jacob didn't have a car, all right? He was probably walking. So she was going to send him 500 miles away just until Esau's temper calmed down and it was safe again. But see, the problem was she didn't have the authority to send him away. It had to be Jacob's daddy to send him away. Isaac had to give Jacob the permission to go. And so Rebekah goes to Isaac.
And she goes in all sassy like. She's like, hey, Isaac, I can't have my sweet little baby boy, Jacob, marrying one of these heathen Canaanite women. That just will not do. That will break my heart. It will just be the death of me. I need you to send him away to my brother Laban to find him a wife. All right? And so Isaac then calls Jacob to him. That's where Genesis 28 starts, like it's his own idea. And he says, Jacob, you can't marry one of these women in the land of Canaan, which has already kind of been established at this point. He's like, I'm going to send you away to your uncle Laban's house, and you're going to find yourself a wife. And he almost immediately sends him away. Verses 3 and 4, he then gives us another blessing, which is kind of reminiscent of the covenant promise that has already been given to Abraham, given to Isaac, and will eventually be given to Jacob. This promise to be with him, to multiply him, and all these things. And while this is going on, brother Esau is watching. He's listening. How many of you watch when mom and dad are talking to your brother and sister by themselves? Any of you guys eavesdropping here? I got some honest kids in the room. All right, so Esau was watching. He saw how happy it made Jacob, or it made Isaac and Rebekah, that his brother was going to marry a woman not of Canaan. See, because Esau, it says in the end of chapter 26, had made his parents' life miserable because he had married not one woman from Canaan, but two. He had taken two wives from the land of Canaan. See, Esau had dishonored his parents while also disregarding God's standard for marriage. See, God's word says marriage is to be between one man and one woman for an entire life. Jacob had two wives. The Bible also says, kids, that we are to honor our parents. Esau wasn't doing either. But he sees the affection and the praise and the how it pleased his father that Jacob was not going to marry a Canaanite woman. So Esau gets this little plan in his head, and he goes to his uncle Ishmael's house, to his land where he lived outside the land of Canaan. Ishmael was Isaac's half-brother. And he said, I'm going to get me a wife there, and that's gonna appease my father. He's going to love that I got this new wife from my uncle Ishmael. And he went over here not because he really wanted to, not out of conviction. He didn't go out of love for his father. He didn't even want to honor God with marriage because he still stayed married to the other two women. He just took a third wife. No, Esau went because of what he wanted to get from his father. His motivation was what he could get from his father, Isaac. He wanted to be back in his good graces. He wanted to belong. See, Matt touched on this morning already, and I want to ask you this question. How many of you have ever just wanted to belong to something? You've wanted to be part of the friend group. You want to be a part of the team. Some of you just want to be a part of the family. Right, you just want to feel wanted. You want to feel loved. You want to belong. And some of us, that desire is so deeply ingrained in us. We are conditioned to think that we have to do something to be worthy of that love, to be able to belong to something. That we have to accomplish something great in order to be loved and accepted in this life. See, Esau probably feels like an outcast. He's looking for a way back, and he thinks marrying this daughter of Ishmael is the ticket. Some of you have been in Esau's shoes. You've done some things to earn love and acceptance and that sense of belonging in this life that, if you're really honest, you're pretty ashamed of. You've given parts of yourself away for the sake of belonging and being worthy and being accepted that you wish you hadn't. Things that God said is just for your spouse. There's things you've given away to be considered worthy and to belong and be accepted. You've compromised convictions all to earn the love of someone whose love and acceptance is conditional. If you have to earn somebody's love, if you have to earn your way into a sense of belonging, you are doing it based on a condition. You're not looking for that kind of love. What you're looking for is unconditional love. That's the beauty of the gospel. See, Jesus says anybody can come to him. Jesus says all are welcome at the foot of the cross. We find our real belonging in Jesus. That yearning we all have to be accepted and loved and wanted, it can be satisfied in Christ. See, when you place your faith in Jesus, he says you are now called a son or a daughter. You are a co-heir of his kingdom. You become part of the family of God when you receive Jesus as Savior. And I know some of you, you think about family and you have some really horrible visions of what family is. That's not what God's family is. God's family is everything your family, the thing you yearn for your family to be. And the beauty is there is nothing that can remove you from God's family once you're in it. His love is never ending. His love is unconditional. We don't have to earn it. All we have to do is receive it. See, Jesus says you are worthy. He says you are accepted. He says you are his. Jesus will never ask you to compromise. He will never ask you to do things that are going to cause guilt and shame in your life. That need you have to belong, to be loved, can be satisfied in Christ alone. You can try to fill it, that void, with everything else in this world. There's one thing that's going to satisfy it, and that is Christ alone. And some of you can testify that this morning because you've lived the other life and you recognize that Jesus is the only one that can satisfy that need to belong. Verses 10 through 17. Jacob leaves his family. He probably travels about 3 days, right, based on the city he ends up in. He's by himself. He didn't have an entourage. Like Miss Terry said, it really doesn't seem like he had any camels to ride on. He's just walking alone with his thoughts. And he's 3 days into this trip, and it says he comes to a certain place, just an insignificant dot on the map where he just pulled off the interstate once it got dark because it wasn't safe to travel at night during Jacob's day. This is just the run-of-the-mill, nothing special kind of place. And he grabbed his rock pillow that we all have, and just the normal standard rock pillow, and he lays down to go to sleep for the night. And then in verse 12 through 13, he has a dream. It says he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder or a staircase set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Some translations say he stood beside it. I think the most important thing to know there is that God was present in this place. But it says, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and to your offspring. This is the first time God appears to Jacob in the book of Genesis. This ladder is a revelation to Jacob. It's a revelation to Jacob in the fact that now, you know, he wasn't walking with the Lord. And now he all of a sudden is made aware that there is a spiritual realm. That there is, God is working behind the scenes in a realm that he couldn't see before. His angels are coming to and fro to accomplish God's will on this earth. And so his eyes are open. And it's in Jacob's dream that we see heaven coming down to earth. Unlike the Tower of Babel early on in Genesis, where man was trying to build his way to heaven out of pride, we see that God is bringing heaven to earth. And so what's important for us to recognize this morning, church, is this, that where Jacob's dream depicted a ladder connecting heaven and earth under the new covenant of which we live in Jesus, Jesus now serves as the ladder that bridges heaven and earth. Jesus serves as the ladder that bridges heaven with humanity. You cannot get to heaven without Jesus. Jesus didn't make us try to come to him because that's impossible. He left his throne. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died a sinner's death. He rose again on the third day. Now he sits enthroned at the right hand of God saying, come to me, all who are weak and weary. Put your faith in me and I will give you life and I will give you rest. Jesus is the bridge to heaven. He's the one that bridges humanity to heaven. He says, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. There is not 100 ways to heaven. There is one, and it is through Jesus who is the bridge. Through Jesus that we have access to heaven. Verses 14 and 15. God gives this reinforcement of the covenant to Jacob. He says, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and the north and the south. And in you and your offspring shall be all the families of the earth, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. This is the reinforcement again of the covenant that's eventually going to be transferred to Jacob. This covenant is going to produce the nation of Israel and eventually Jesus. A promise that up until this moment, Jacob had been trying to obtain in his own ability and his own intelligence. It's in this dream God is offering Jacob an alternative life. If he will just simply trust and obey. A life that would be truly blessed. A life where God would be at the center of his life and meet all of his needs if he would just follow in faith. God is offering Jacob something better than he currently has. He's offering him salvation. Not because he deserved it, but because in his grace, God chose to give it to Jacob. Jacob is being, it would be like me going over here to little Ben and saying, Ben, you got a dollar bill. I'll trade you my $100 bill for your dollar bill. Not because you did anything to earn it, but I just want to give it to you. That's the kind of offer that God is giving Jacob to live this alternative life, to correct the course that he's currently on. Not because he did anything to earn it, because it's God's desire to give it. Friends, the invitation of Jesus through the gospel to come and follow him is the same. It's the invitation to live an alternative life to the one you're currently living. It's one filled with hope instead of hopelessness. It's one filled with forgiveness instead of shame, peace instead of anxiety, contentment instead of discontent, eternal life instead of death. He offers it not because we deserve it, because out of his grace and his unconditional love for us, he desires to give it. Church, in Matthew 28, we have the similar promises that he's given Jacob. In Matthew 28, Jesus promises to be with you and I to the very end of the age, till the work on this earth is finished and we step into eternity. Jesus says, I will be with you. It says in Matthew 6:33, as long as you seek his kingdom, then he'll provide for every one of your needs. Do you guys really know what that means? I mean, we've said it multiple times throughout this series, but do you know what it means when God says he will provide for you? I was thinking about this week because it's come up in conversations a few times because I think it's on some people's minds. That means like if you were to wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden there's a shortage in the food supply, right? And you are walking faithfully with the Lord, he's going to provide. You don't have to be worried about where you're going to get your next meal when you're walking with the Lord. Because he says, hey, I'm going to take care of those things for you if you'll just walk with me. And he has a track record, right? He has a track record of supplying for his people's needs in the midst of famine, right? If there's a food shortage tomorrow, that would be considered a famine. God has a track record in the Old Testament of just raining food down from heaven if need be. Right? There's a story in the Gospels of Jesus where Jesus takes a few Lunchables and he multiplies them to feed 10,000 people. He is able. When he says he will provide, he means he will provide. When he says he will be with you, he means he will be with you. The question is, church, do you believe him? With the silence in the room, I'm guessing that maybe some of you aren't really, you struggle to believe that. When God says he will do something, he's on record time and time again of following through with what he says he's going to do. If we will simply trust and obey what he calls us to do. Verses 17 through 18, Jacob has what we would consider a salvation experience, a come to Jesus moment where he wakes up from his dream and he's instantly afraid, not in a fearful, like a I'm scared of the dark kind of afraid, but in a fearful reverence of the Lord. A reverent fear of the awesomeness of God. If I can get on my soapbox just for a minute, I think we say the word awesome way too much. That word awesome is reserved for God, right? It's not your breakfast, it's not your car, it's not what you watched on TV. Like, when we talk about awesome, we are talking about the awesome nature of the Almighty God, and that's what Jacob is in reverent fear over right now. the awesomeness of God. And so he wakes up and he takes that little stone pillow, puts some oil on it, consecrates it, makes it holy, turns it into a memorial, a statue in honor of what has just taken place in this dream. He renames the place Bethel, which, as Miss Terry said, means house of God. This insignificant place and this ordinary stone had become holy and significant because God showed up. It became holy and significant because God showed up. Verses 20 through 22, Jacob encounters the one true God. He has his life-transforming experience. He then makes his vow in response to the Lord. A vow is a solemn promise. Kids, how many of you have ever made a promise? How many of you ever promised your parents you wouldn't do that thing again that they told you not to do? How many of you ever kept that promise? How many of you had to make the promise a second time, a third time, a fourth time? A few honest kids in the room. Jacob makes this vow, this solemn promise to the Lord. And he promises to do three things. Because God has done this, because God has made these promises to him, he says, I'm going to make you my God. I'm going to devote my life to you. He says, I'm going to take this stone, I'm going to put this oil on it, and I'm going to turn this into a house of God, a place of holy worship. And then in verse 22, he says, I'm going to take a tenth of everything that God gives me, and I'm going to give it back to God. Now, this is in part where we get our standard for the tithe. I know that's everybody's, man, that when they come to church, they want to hear about the tithe, right? That's on everybody's mind, right? And so if you've been with me long enough, you know that I don't necessarily like to talk about money unless the text brings it up, and the text brings it up this morning, so we're going to talk about it briefly. A tithe in this sense is an act of worship. Like, God doesn't need what we have. He's given it to us. He doesn't need it back. But it's an act of worship. It's an effort to show our gratitude and dependence on the Father. It's gratitude for what he's done. And in giving it back, we're showing, hey, we depend on you more than we depend on the stuff you've given us, Lord. See, if you move to the New Testament, Jesus takes it a little bit deeper. He calls us to a life of generosity, right? And he doesn't put a percentage on what we are to give. He says, you need to live a life of generosity. You need to give abundantly according to what you have been given. You need to give as an act of worship. And what I've learned over the years is that when we start haggling over the percentages, that means our heart isn't where it needs to be. Because Jesus says we need to be cheerful givers. We need to give out of the abundance of our heart, out of the worship, the gratitude, the dependence. See, Jacob's tithe was a worshipful response to the promises of God. And so when we come and we give here, we give to God through the church for his glory and his kingdom, he takes that and he uses it to expand his kingdom right where we are to the ends of the earth. And we do it not because he needs it, but because it's a sign of worship and gratitude and dependence. And we see that with Jacob. Jacob's vow, though, is more than that. Jacob's vow was not a contract, but it was a reorientation. Jacob had now reoriented his life around God and his will. He was no longer going to Laban to get a wife. He was going to pursue the Lord. Now, he had a lot of growing up to. There'd be 20 years almost of Jacob growing up before God would use him like he had planned to use him. But now he was seeking the Lord for the first time in his life. Church, follower of Jesus, those who've been transformed by his grace, is your life still oriented around Jesus and his will, or have you slipped back into being the center of your universe? Is your life still revolve around Jesus and what he's called you to do, or is it more about you and what you want to do? See, like the planets of our solar system, they revolve around the sun. Our lives should revolve around Jesus. You know, if that sun was not the center of the solar system, none of us would be here right now, right? Like, it doesn't work unless the sun is the center of the solar system. Our life does not work like God intended it to work unless Jesus is at the center of our little personal solar systems. Whenever we move Jesus and put anything else there, that's when things get all out of whack, like your washing machine when it gets too many towels in it, right? That's what happens when you take Jesus out of the center and you orient your life around something other than Jesus. There's three truths I just want to take. I want us to take. Make sure we take away this morning before we end our time together. And the first is this: thinking back to Rebekah and Jacob and their little schemes. Faith is living without scheming. Faith is living without trying to make your own plans to accomplish God's will. Faith is living in such a way where you're trusting God and relinquishing control. Some of us right now in this room have attempted every other possible scenario to get that thing that we're dealing with in our lives right now taken care of, except to submit and seek to the Lord. See, faith is not scheming. Faith is submission. Faith is trusting. Faith is letting go of your control and saying, God, you got it. But some of us have a hard time letting go of that control. We have this overwhelming desire to control the narrative, to control the outcome. And I think all of us are guilty of that from time to time. And so if I could just encourage you this morning, if that's you, if you are that one that's got two hands on the wheel, you're white knuckling, you're trying to control everything, if you just relinquish that this morning, I could promise you, if you would just let go this morning, your shoulders are going to feel a lot better with the weight of the world removed this morning. Because those of you that are trying to control everything, you're so overwhelmed by trying to control everything that the weight of the world is right now on your shoulders and you don't know what to do about it. I could tell you what to do about it. It says let go, right? There's some men in this room got some big shoulders. They can't even carry it because they weren't meant to carry it. And neither were you. But if once you relinquish that control, you're going to walk in a freedom you never knew you could walk in. Faith is living without scheming. Faith is living in submission to the will of God. Number two, God makes what seems normal and insignificant holy and instrumental. Right in the book of Ephesians, God says that he has planned ahead of time good works for every single person to do as part of his kingdom. Right? When God shows up, everything changes. God has a history of using what the world would say are insignificant, unimportant, mundane for his glory. He used 12 common, everyday, mostly blue-collar men to change the world in the Gospels of Jesus. When you receive Christ, you are not only made holy, but you are being brought into God's kingdom to play an instrumental part in his redemption plan. If you're here this morning, you've been struggling with feeling insignificant, God has said that you have value, that you have a part to play. Christian, through Christ, you have been made a holy instrument for God's kingdom. Finally, number three, God's grace is greater than all your sin. There's some of you that walk in here today with the shame of past sin. You've walked in here today not having a relationship with Jesus. And you said, if God knew the things that I have done, he would never forgive me. And friend, let me tell you, he knows what you've done. And he says, yes, his grace is big enough to forgive everything you have done and you're going to do. His grace is big enough to carry and cover all of our sins. For some of you, that's a reminder. Some of you need to know that because you've given your life to Jesus. But maybe you've been walking down some paths you shouldn't have been, and you've been afraid to bring it to the Lord because you're afraid that he's going to judge you. You're afraid he's not going to forgive you. And I'm telling you, his grace is big enough that whatever it is you have done and you are walking through, Jesus' blood covered it on the cross. No matter what you've done, you're never hopeless because of the work, the finished work of the cross. We're going to move into a time of invitation, a time of response. I'm going to have the worship team come up this morning. And I know some of you have probably have been really trying to pay attention this morning. You're wrangling kids, and that's just, it's all right. But I trust in the Holy Spirit. I trust that God's word does not go back void. I trust, man, that God can do stuff even in the midst of chaos. And so maybe this morning, God has been speaking. He says, you need to reorient some things in your life. Your solar system's out of whack. Your washing machine's out of whack this morning. You got to recenter some things this morning. Maybe you realize you've been seeking belonging in the wrong things. Maybe God has convicted you of something. You need to come and kneel and confess and repent this morning. We got, you know, Brian and Charmaine will be in the back. John and Caleb will be up here. Maybe you want to pray with somebody. They're there. And see, church, I recognize this morning is gospel heavy. I didn't plan it that way. That's the Lord. And so we're going to do something that I think maybe we've only done one other time in 7 years. I know for some of you it may seem a little cheesy, but I'm just going to ask you just in this moment to just bow your head and close your eyes. And if you're here this morning, you have never, ever given your life to Jesus, and you've heard the gospel this morning, and you're like, man, I want that hope, I want that peace, I want what Jesus has to offer, I want that alternative life from the one I'm living. I'm just going to ask you, with nobody looking, to just raise your hand this morning. Amen. Just raise, if you want to, nobody's going to come pick on you, nobody's going to call you out, but if you're like, man, I want that Jesus this morning. I want to walk with him. Amen. Amen. If you guys can open your eyes. If you raise your hand this morning, here's what I'll ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to fill out that Connect card, and you can just come leave it up here, or you can go talk. You can get to Brian and Charmony in the back, or up here to my wife, Tammy, whoever you feel comfortable with, and we're going to connect with you and talk to you about some next steps. But, man, we are proud of you. And as we pray, I'm gonna pray this prayer. And if you are one of those people that raised your hand, I'm just gonna invite you to pray it with me. And as they're praying, if you guys in the church that are already followers of Jesus just want to pray for them, I encourage you to do that. And then we're gonna worship this morning. And so if you raise your hand, here's what I want you to pray. Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. Lord, that I cannot live up to your standard. You are holy and I'm not. But I confess this morning that you are Lord, that you are who you say you are, that you lived a perfect life, you died on the cross for my sins, and you got raised again on the third day. Lord, this morning I confess my sins to you and ask for your forgiveness. God, and I invite you into my heart this morning and ask you to be the Lord over my life today. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful this morning for those that raised their hands. Lord, I know there's probably others in the room that, man, they're on the fence. They're thinking about it. Man, they're still pushing back. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts this morning. I know there's some that maybe didn't have the courage to raise their hand. Lord, I pray that you continue to work with them. And then there's those in the room today, man, they are just struggling in life. Man, they're struggling to orient their life around you. They're struggling with their belonging, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to move in our hearts this morning. Your Holy Spirit would just continue to work powerfully in this place. Guys, we sing one last song to you, Lord. I pray that we would do it with all of our hearts. God, that it would be just an echo of gratitude this morning. And so, Lord, we just surrender this time to you, and we just pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you now, if you're able, to go ahead and stand with us this morning as we worship. If you need to respond, we encourage you to respond. But just you give your heart to the Lord in this moment. Amen, amen. You guys can be seated just for a moment. Hey, I know we got some wiggly kids. We're ready to get out of here, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time. Hey, if you made any kind of decision to follow Jesus, if you made any kind of decision to take the next step of your faith today, let somebody know, whether it's me, whether it's Connect Card, whether it's my wife, Tammy, Brian, and Charmy, whoever, let somebody know this morning so we can follow up with that. A couple of quick announcements. I know I'm going to forget some, but you just make sure you look at that bulletin this morning. September 12th, we got the Edify Women's Conference at Emmanuel. Hey, there's a sign-up sheet right there where Lily, raise your hand. You're standing. Lily can point you to that. Men, we're going to have a breakfast here that same morning, September 12th, 8 o'clock. You just bring a dish, bring your youth-age son. We're going to hear a testimony and just kind of fellowship a little bit as men here at 8 o'clock on September 12th. Bring a friend, bring and just come and hang out and maybe meet some guys you haven't met before. September 13th, we have our next Discover Replicate class. So if you've been coming for a minute, you want to know more about what Replicate believes, kind of the vision of the church, so you're ready to make that next step of membership and what that entails here. Please use your Connect card to sign up for that. You can drop that off in the offering box this morning. We provide lunch for that. It's right after church in this building. And so we want to make sure we prepare accordingly for that. Also on the 13th, we're going to have our Serve Sunday. And so what that is, we're going to have some of our ministries represented that morning. And so if you currently aren't plugged in somewhere, you can see some of the ministries we offer, how you could serve there. And so we encourage you to be here on the 13th as well. And then finally, September 20th, I believe it is our next prayer night here in this room, Sunday night at 5 o'clock. The August one was supposed to be at Avalon Baptist, and there was a schedule conflict, and so it just didn't happen, so I apologize about that. But we got the next one coming up in September. Am I forgetting anything important, babe? All right, I'm sure, if I did, it's in the bulletin, it's on the website, it's on social media, you can check it on there. All right, now the instructions you're waiting for, okay, what to do now. All right, if Chris or Bob can go out and make sure the water slides are good and going, that's probably the most important part at this point in time. And my deacons, if you guys, as soon as we dismiss, if you guys can help bring out some tables for people to eat at. And so everybody else, if you guys can give us like 15 minutes to get kind of all the food situated, we'll come back over the mic and bless the food and kind of give you further instructions. But right now, if your kids need to get changed, this is the time. They're welcome to go outside. I think there's going to be some water balloons. We'll go with that in a little bit. But we love you guys. We want you to stick around, even if you didn't plan on it. And just give about 15 minutes. We'll give you all food instructions.